Thank you all for coming this morning. Looked up here at these distinguished gentlemen with a necktie on this morning and looked at myself and I said, you nut, you forgot your tie. Well, if Elsie would have been here, would have had a tie on, I'll tell you that. And where can I put this? It's supposed to go on your tie and I don't have a tie. We'll put it on the shirt. Now, I have to apologize for last night. I had an announcement to make. Mrs. Good gave it to me. I heard her, but I wasn't listening. And I really apologize. My excuse was I had a number of things on my mind, but it was just an excuse. I think my powers of recall are beginning to slip a little bit. Any folks forget things? No, you don't, do you? Well, the real truth of the matter was this book should have been offered at half price, period. Don't miss it. Now, I know some of you spend all the money you can spend in the bookstore, but if you can spare another $3, there's a $6 hardback book, and if you don't get $3 worth of blessing from this book, bring it back, bring it to Bob Majonger, and he'll give you a refund. Now, I think you'll be glad you bought that book. It's a good value. It's a $6 hardback, and I think there are 4 copies. Don't have to buy anything to get it. That's what I blew last night. You just go out there and grab it, and first there, first serve. Now, I have a tape in my hand, and our brother Old has been kind enough to reproduce a couple for me. This tape is a prize tape, as far as I'm concerned. It's the memorial service for Elsie. About 500 people were in attendance. Dr. Charles Anderson, who has been my friend for more than 55 years, I called on the phone to ask if he could come, wherever he was, could he come and preach Elsie's memorial service, which he did. And I have a tribute to Elsie on here. You'll hear 500 people singing 2 glorious songs. There were some tears, but they were tears of joy. I said to Don Locke, who led the program for me, I said, Don, I don't want any mourning here. I want joy. Elsie's in heaven. This is her coronation day. We're going to celebrate. And 500 people sang 2 of Elsie's favorite songs, and you'll get a thrill. Then I gave a tribute to Elsie, and Richard prayed, only because the man who was to pray got lost coming. And Richard prayed, and the boys decided they didn't want to say anything publicly. They weren't sure they could handle it. And at that time, Richard hadn't told me yet of his physical condition. But the brother Ald has done a good job in putting this all on one side of a 1-hour tape. I think it'll be a blessing. Now, they're available in the bookstore for $2. Brother Ald is going to duplicate them, and if he had some idea, just a rough idea, how many he should make, because nobody's going to buy them after I'm gone, I know that. How many would be interested in a tape of that memorial service? Oh, my. Well, Brother Ald, I don't see him. Where is he? Oh, there you are. Now, I would guess we got about 30 or 35 here. So you get them in the bookstore, and I think the bookstore sells tapes for a couple of dollars, so that'd be all right. Now, open your Bible, please, to Paul's second epistle to Timothy. For this closing session, I had hoped that we might deal with 2 more ups. I wanted to take up the matter of take up thy cross and follow me. Then I would like to have closed with the thought of being caught up, First Thessalonians chapter 4. And a lady came to me and said she was looking through her Bible and she found a good one, mount up. We shall mount up as eagles' wings. And there's a lot of ups there in the Bible. So we can't get to all of them, but I want you to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Now, Father, we thank Thee for every blessing of life. We get far more than we deserve, Lord. And we thank Thee for Thy mercy, which withholds from us what we do deserve. And we rejoice this morning that Thou art a God of grace, the God of all grace. You have a monopoly on grace. And we thank you that we can draw from the infinite, inexhaustible resources of that fountain of grace. May that grace flow freely to us this morning and help us to respond to thy word, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Paul was writing to Timothy, the young man. Paul was now ready to die. This is Paul's swan song, the last thing that he wrote before he went to be with the Lord. And he penned it as a personal letter to his young friend whom he had helped and encouraged in the work of the Lord. He said, Timothy, I'm on my way to heaven. You have a gift, and I want you to stir up that gift. Fan the flame. Keep the fire hot. What you don't use, you might lose. So stir up the gift that is within you. Now, one of the primary concerns of our Lord was the necessary equipment for the survival of his church. He was going back to heaven, and the Holy Spirit was going to come. The Father was going to send the Holy Spirit. And that would mark the birthday of the church. And the Lord Jesus was concerned about the survival of his church. He had said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It would be a church that could never die. But in order for that church to keep going, he knew the weakness of the members of the church. And so he, realizing the need for the survival of his church, he gave gifts unto members of the church. We saw that in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 13 yesterday. He gave gifts unto the church. We want to consider the gifts this morning, and then hopefully the Lord will use our study that each of us might be willing to stir up whatever gift God has given to us. Do your giving while you're living, then you're knowing where it's going. And do your working while you're living, for the night cometh when no one of us will work anymore. What is your gift? Are you using it? Maybe it needs some stirring up. Maybe the embers have died out. Maybe we need to fan the flame and get the fire hot before time runs out and we can no longer do our work. The Lord Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh. The night time will come for all of us when the shades will be drawn once and for all time in this earthly sojourn. The night will come and not one of us will do any more work. Now, with that as a bit of background, we're going to deal with the gifts this morning. There are five chapters in the New Testament that give to us the gifts that the ascended Lord gave for the survival and the ongoing of his church. The first one is in the first chapter, is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Let us look briefly at that chapter just to acquaint ourselves with the first appearance in the New Testament. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or worship. Why be so concerned about the body? Well, it is in the body that you and I are going to do whatever we will do for God in this life. God needs our bodies. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You wouldn't want to die out of the will of God, would you? I don't want to go that way. And there's a need for a daily presentation of my body. When I waken in the morning, thank you, Lord, for a new day. Help me to use my body and all of my faculties for thy glory. Now he said, I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, that means sober-mindedly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Now, following that context of yielding the body, he goes on to mention some of the gifts. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, no showmanship, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. It's the first mention of gifts. Now, just a few of them mentioned here. I don't know whether you see your gift in that list. Then the second gift is in next three chapters are together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapters 12, 13, and 14. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. We're not going to turn to those at this moment. We're coming back later. And then the third chapter where the gifts are found is Ephesians 4, 8 through 13. Now, the three key chapters, I think, are 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. There they are expounded in detail. The church in Corinth was guilty of the misuse and abuse of the gifts that the Lord had given. Now, Christ gave the gifts. The Holy Spirit is the one who distributes the gifts, gives the gift to each believer. That's His work. He is the one who gives out the gifts, who portions them out. Now, the church at Corinth had an unusual congregation in one respect. To the best of my knowledge, and I have read all of the New Testament epistles, as many of you, maybe all of you have, the church at Corinth was the only church of whom or which it is said they had all the gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 7. So that you come behind in no gift. That local assembly had all the gifts. Not one person had them all. No one Christian has all the gifts, but in that assembly, there were all the gifts that the ascended Christ had given for the survival of His church in that one assembly. Yet, in spite of the fact that in that assembly they had all the gifts, the church in Corinth was the most unspiritual church to which a New Testament epistle was written. You cannot find a church in the New Testament as carnal, as worldly, as unspiritual as the church in Corinth. It was pierced through with division. They had a divorce problem. There was even drunkenness in the church at Corinth. They were suing one another, going to court with ungodly lawyers and judges to solve their problems. Quite a mess for a local assembly. Yet, they had all the spiritual gifts, which tells us that one may have a spiritual gift and not be spiritual. And when one is not spiritual but has a spiritual gift, usually he or she misuses or abuses that gift. Now, beloved, if we have a gift that God has given to us, the Holy Spirit gave to us at the time of our conversion, we certainly don't want to misuse it or abuse it, because at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to lose our reward no matter how gifted we might be. So we're looking now at a church that had a great problem, and their problem was one of, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and look at verse 1. Now there are three chapters in 1 Corinthians, 12, 13, and 14. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, and then turn to 1 Corinthians 14, and just keep both of those chapters ready. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now turn over to the last verse of, chapter 14, and verse 38. He now taught them about the gifts through three chapters, 12, 13, and 14. And when he came to the end of chapter 14, now he began by saying, I'm writing to you because there's ignorance about the use and misuse and abuse of the gifts. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now after all this teaching, he says at the end of chapter 14, verse 38, if you're still ignorant, it's because you want to be, so just continue on in your ignorance. If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. So this section on the gifts, three chapters, commences and concludes by stating the problem in the church at Corinth. They did not understand, and many of them did not understand because they didn't want to understand. It was willful ignorance. In connection with this, let me show you how this can creep up on any one of us. Turn to 2 Peter, if you will, please. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, and I want to read beginning with verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up, there's another stir up, your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And then Peter writes, for this they willingly are ignorant of. Oh, willful ignorance. Willful ignorance. We're willfully ignorant. I want to give you an illustration of the misuse and abuse of gifts. Now, I know some fine Christians who are in charismatic movements, so I'm not speaking against people. But about 1,200 miles from here, there is a charismatic church. And they claim a gift that's in the text I began with this morning. Stir up the gift of God. But they claim that the way to receive the gift is the way seemingly Timothy received his gift. Now, were you paying attention to that text I gave to you in 2 Timothy 1:6? Stir up the gift of God which is in you. Now, the King James might lead one to believe that that gift came through the laying on of hands, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now, if you will turn back to 1 Timothy, Chapter 4, verse 14, Paul said to the same young man, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Now, in both of these texts where the gift is mentioned given to Timothy, you find a mention of the laying on of hands. Timothy did not receive the gift by the laying on of hands. That is not even intimated in the context nor in the original language of the New Testament. The laying on of hands did not transmit the gift to Timothy. And our friends in this particular charismatic church are caught up with this abuse and misuse of the word gift. And when someone feels they have a gift, they make it known, and then somebody in the church puts hands on them. And then that's supposed to transmit the gift. You don't get the gift by the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands here was simply the recognition that Timothy had received the gift. The Holy Spirit gives the gift. We'll see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We don't choose our gift. Christ gave the gifts, and the Holy Spirit is the one who distributes the gift. We don't choose our gift, nor can you choose my gift for me, and I cannot choose it for you. The laying on of the hands was simply the recognition that here was a brother or a sister with a gift. I know of an assembly where there was a young couple in the church who were serving the Lord with great fervor and compassion and consideration of others, and they believed that God wanted them on the mission field in Latin America. And they did nothing but pray about it. But they had convinced the members of the chapel that they were God's true servants. They just showed it by their manner of living. They were always willing to sacrifice for others, never looking for someone to serve them, but looking for an opportunity to be a help to others. And someone asked them one day, what do you folks have in mind? Well, they said, we would like to go to Latin America, God willing. And the elders in the assembly said, hey, we better pray for this couple. They have good possibilities. And the elders prayed for them, and pretty soon it became obvious that this couple was God's material for Latin America. And so they had a public service in the chapel. It was announced, the chapel was filled. And the couple were called to the platform, and they knelt on the platform, and the elders gathered round and put their hands on them. And what were the elders doing? Were they imparting a gift to these people? No. They were simply telling the congregation that here we have a couple, and we, the elders, believe God has given them a gift. And our laying on of hands is our public recognition of the gift that has been given to them. Now, this group up here, about 1,200 miles from where we are now, they find people and say, hey, he ought to have the gift. She ought to have the gift. Or someone who wants the gift says, I think I'd like to have this gift. And so they lay on hands, and they think they transmit the gift. You can't do that. The only thing that might be transmitted through the laying on of hands is possibly some germs. Or if you have a crawling cootie in your hair, it might be transmitted to me if I put my hand on your head. Laying on of hands does not transmit anything. And here this group had gone wild on this text, laying on of hands and gifts, and they had the thing all confused. And the church is in confusion. And there's no testimony for the Lord Jesus. Now, there's some fine Christians in there. But you see, here's an illustration of the misuse and abuse of gifts. What is it? What causes it? Ignorance. Ignorance. Chapter 12, verse 1, Paul said, you're ignorant. Chapter 14, verse 38, he says, now I've taught you all that the Spirit of God told me to teach you. If you want to be ignorant, just go on in your ignorance. I can't do any more for you. Now, there are people who say, look, I know what I want to believe. Don't confuse me with the facts. There are Christians just like that. They don't know the Word of God. They're ignorant of what the Scriptures teach. And they pick some text and try to build a whole system on that text. Thus, we have confusion. And the problem at Corinth was the Corinthian confusion, the result of ignorance. They just did not know. Now, let's look a little bit at some of the things that might help us in this matter of the use of gifts. First of all, I want to suggest to you three distinctions that we should make. Three distinctions that we should make. If you'll get these three simple distinctions down, it will help you. They are foundational. They are basic. They are fundamental. Number one, Do not confuse the Holy Spirit as a gift, and He is a gift. John 14, the Lord said, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth. So the coming of the Holy Spirit was a gift from God the Father to every individual believer. He is a gift, the Father's gift to us. However, don't confuse the gift of the Spirit with the gifts He dispenses. There are gifts, G-I-F-T-S, that He dispenses. Don't confuse the two. At Pentecost, God the Father gave the Holy Spirit to every believer individually and to the church corporately. Now, the Spirit gives gifts. Don't confuse Him as the gift to you with the gifts that He gives as listed in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The second distinction that I want to suggest to you is that the gifts of the Spirit must be distinguished from the fruit of the Spirit. Let me explain that. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. The gifts must not be confused with the fruit of the Spirit. Make that distinction. Galatians chapter 5. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, in my judgment, speaks to us of the quality of character which should be produced in every one of us. Every child of God should have these qualities, these characteristics, the fruit of the Spirit, in chapter 5, Paul's epistle to the Galatians, beginning with verse 22. Now, it's not parceled out. The fruit of the Spirit is not parceled out. If one Christian gets love, another one doesn't have love, but he has joy. Another one doesn't have love or joy, but she has peace. No. These are not the fruits, plural, of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit. It's a cluster of fruit. Every believer should manifest all of the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. But that is not true of the gifts of the Spirit. While every believer should manifest and demonstrate the fruit, all of the fruit, that is not true of the gifts. The gifts are given, parceled out by the Holy Spirit as He sees our abilities and capabilities and our aptitudes, our desires, and what we can do for His glory. So please make that distinction. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and we can clarify this second point. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read some verses beginning with verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Mark the word diversities. There are differences of administration. Mark the word differences. There are diversities of operations, mark the word diversities. Now, I want you to make a distinction between a spiritual gift and a natural talent. You may have a natural talent that is not a spiritual gift. An unsaved person can have a natural talent, but an unsaved person does not have a spiritual gift. The spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit to believers. Now, after an unsaved person gets saved, his or her natural talent can be used wonderfully of the Lord. In the church that Richard pastors, they have an organization called Men for Missions. They are talented men. They're carpenters, stonemasons, electricians, and they get together periodically, take off from their work. They've been to Europe, they've been to South America, they've been to Latin America, and they'll go as a team and take 2 weeks and build a house for a missionary. They had natural talents. Now, when they got saved, they're using their natural talents for the Lord. But those natural talents must not be confused with spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts, as you find them in the three portions of Scripture where they're found, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, and Ephesians chapter 4. The gifts are mentioned there. That's not natural talent. So make that distinction. Now, you have to make also a distinction between the diversities. There are two of them. We have them here in 1 Corinthians 12. There are diversities of gifts, different gifts, a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences or diversities of administration, ways of using the gifts. See? Not everyone has the same gift, and if two persons have the same gift, they may not use it in exactly the same way. So you have here diversity, not disunity. You can have diversity in the assembly with disunity, but we should have diversity and not have disunity. That was the Corinthian confusion. They had all the gifts, but there was disunity. Chapter 3. Paul said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. There are divisions among you. Some of you are saying, oh, I prefer Paul. I like Paul's theological approach. Someone says, I like Apollos. I like his soft, quiet manner, his deep teaching. Someone says, I like Peter. I like Peter. He's outspoken. He tells it like it is. And there is disunity, division. Yet, chapter 1, verse 7 says, all the gifts were in that assembly. You can have spiritual gifts and not be spiritual. I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. You are fleshly, Paul said. A gifted assembly loaded with unspiritual people. The result? Utter confusion, disunity, diversity, but never disunity. So the problem at Corinth is clear as you read chapter 3 of that epistle. Now, your Bible is open to chapter 12. I want to read some verses, and I want you to note as I read. I'll point out some things that are here, but we have to point them out. I can remember when I was going through the book of Romans. We lived in Detroit, and my study was upstairs. We had a bedroom, bathroom downstairs, and four bedrooms upstairs. And three of them were lined with shelves containing my 5,000 and more volumes of Bible study books. And I was going through the book of Romans, and I came across something in Romans that just thrilled me. And I came running down the stairs with my Bible. I said, Elsie, where are you? Where are you? She said, I'm out here in the kitchen. What's wrong? I said, nothing's wrong. Look at this. Look at this. She said, honey, it's been there all the time. Now, what I want to point out, it's been here all the time. But I think we need our pure minds stirred up by way of remembrance. So easy for the flesh to take over and to be in an assembly where there are spiritual gifts but utter confusion because the gifts are misused and abused. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to begin reading. Now that verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, different ways of doing it. I believe that Billy Graham is a fine evangelist. If I were an evangelist, I wouldn't do some things the way he does them. But then maybe he's not pleased with the way I don't do them. I wouldn't say all of his methods would be my methods. Different ways of operating. Got a clear message and people get saved. So I'm not going to be picayune and find fault with all of his methods. I wouldn't use all of his methods. I'm not an evangelist. If I were, I wouldn't use all of his message. Don't approve of all of it. But he's got a good message. I think his morals are clean, too. We need to pray for him. He's a strong voice for God. He's preached to more people than Jesus and the apostles Paul, Peter, and John put together. I know of no evangelist that's preached to kings, queens, presidents, prime ministers. He needs our prayers, yet I don't approve of all of his methods. Who am I? There are different methods of operation. That's what Paul's telling the church at Corinth. Don't fuss. Because somebody doesn't do it the way you do it. Maybe they're not caring for the way you don't do it. Differences of administration, there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation, or the gift of the Spirit, is given to every man to profit with all. We all have to profit from the gifts. So our gift is to contribute to the edification of other members of the body of Christ. To one is given by the Spirit. You don't choose your gift. To one is given by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. The Spirit gives the gift. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. You see the emphasis here? The Holy Spirit is the dispenser of the gifts. The ascended Christ gave the gifts. He's in heaven. The Holy Spirit was sent by God the Father. He's now the one to dispense the gifts. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh at one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. He sovereignly gives the gifts. We don't choose them. And no one can choose them for us. Now, move over to chapter 12, a couple of verses beyond that. Verse 13. For by one Spirit, same Holy Spirit, are we all baptized into one body. Now the church is likened unto a body. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, the church which is his body. Church and body are used synonymously, interchangeably. The church is likened unto a body. It's a figure of speech for the church. Now, a body is made up of members, has one head. One head. It's not a monstrosity. Dr. Koop, who is a retired surgeon general, is a fine Christian gentleman. I don't know whether you folks knew that. A devout Christian. And he is the first man to operate successfully on Siamese twins. He served in the St. Luke Children's Hospital in Philadelphia when I was ministering in the Philadelphia area, and I got to meet Dr. Koop personally, a fine Christian gentleman. He was the first man to perform surgery on a baby born with two heads. Now, I don't want to be unkind or brash, and I don't want you to think I'm rude or crude. I don't want to be that way. But anyone looking at that baby would have to admit that that baby was a monstrosity. And if you want a good word from Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, it was a freak. I'm not being unkind, but that is one way to describe it. A body with two heads would be a monstrosity. Christ Church has one head. He is the head of the church. We are members of the body. Now, Paul's going to describe how the members of the body function. So we don't have the Corinthian confusion in the assembly. He says now, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. The body is not one member, but many. You are not the whole body. I am not the whole body. Now, there's a little humor here, and I enjoy it. with a sanctified imagination, I trust. If the foot shall say, now, foot can't speak. Paul's going to bring this down where anybody can. These Corinthians were still ignorant. He told them so. And he had to bring it down to language they could understand. Now, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I don't want to be a part of the body. Paul said, come on now, isn't it a part of the body? Now, suppose my foot got ornery this morning. I'm getting ready to come to the meeting. And my foot says, I'm not going. Now, the foot shall say. That's what your Bible said. And I say, why not? Well, that's the same sock you had on me yesterday. Now you're going to stick me in a shoe. Then you're going to put me on the floor behind that pulpit and nobody can see me. I want to be a hand. The hand has a little shell, waves around. I want to be a hand. Now there, it's in your Bible now. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, oh. Suppose the ear should say, I want to be an eye. Verse 16. Suppose the whole body were an ear. Can you imagine a 155-pound ear coming up on this platform this morning? It makes you laugh, doesn't it? Situation in a lot of local churches would be laughable. It wouldn't be so sad. Wouldn't be so sad. We're members. And what Paul was teaching here is that there's diversity in the body. And each member in the body has a function. Each member has its own gift. Divinely bestowed. I didn't choose what my hand should do. God knew I needed an index finger and a thumb. I didn't choose that. God created the body. He knew I needed 2 feet to walk on. 2 ears to hear and only 1 tongue. But I might hear twice as much and speak less. He knew I needed a nose to smell. God created the body. The church is likened unto a body. Now he said in verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, there wouldn't be any hearing. If the whole were hearing, there wouldn't be any smelling. God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, then you wouldn't have a body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. You see, the lesson here, dear friends, is do not despise your gift. And don't despise the gift of your brother and sister in Christ. And don't envy the gift of your brother and sister in Christ. The hand has a function. The eyes have a function. My feet have a function. My nose has a function. Discover your gift. Develop your gift. Don't despise your gift. And don't despise and don't envy the gift of another member of the body. You have diversity, but be careful not disunity. Every member of the body is essential. If I get a toothache, the whole body feels it. I can't think right, I can't study, I can't concentrate. One little tooth disrupts the whole body. Don't despise your gift, and don't despise and certainly don't envy the gift of others. We're all important to the body. Now you discover your gift. How can I do that? Well, it's 10:30. I'll give you 3 key words and then conclude. I'm not going to drag it out because 10:30 is quitting time. Number one, you can discover your gift through information. Read the 5 chapters where the gifts are mentioned. And when you have read those 5 chapters, acquaint yourselves with the gifts. What are they? And you must learn to distinguish the sign gifts and the temporary gifts from the permanent gifts. Information. Be knowledgeable. That was the problem in Corinth. chapter 12, verse 1, Paul said, you're ignorant. When he finished at the end of chapter 14, verse 38, he said, you're still ignorant. You're not listening. You're not responding to what I'm teaching you. You're still ignorant. That was the confusion in Corinth. Willful ignorance. Now, beloved, we have what we need in those five chapters. So, information. Secondly, I'm going to suggest by inclination. What are you inclined to do? What are your aptitudes? What do you like to do? What do you do well? It could be that this might contribute to you discovering the gift that the Spirit of God has given to you. You see, we have gifts, and I don't think we're aware of them. And then thirdly, by investigation. By investigation. How do we investigate? Well, number one, by prayer. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, I'm going to suggest this, and this is not for the most of you. Most of you should be far enough along to help younger people, but I would suggest to young people who are interested in discovering and developing their gift to do some investigating and consult with older spiritual Christians. There's a young man, I will not mention his name because it's been told a number of times. There's a young man who looks like Billy Graham. He is the same height as Billy Graham. His hair is exactly like Billy Graham's. His voice is like Billy Graham's. He wants to be an evangelist. And he said he believes that God has given him the gift of evangelism because he's so much like Billy Graham. He thinks he has the gift of evangelism. Everyone I know who has heard him doesn't believe he has the gift of evangelism. He's the only one that believes it. People who heard him don't believe it. Now, don't ask me what his name is. I'm not going to tell you. His name is not Billy Graham. What are your inclinations? Investigate. Pray. Seek the wisdom of older people. Now, for the most of us here today, we ought to be helping some younger people. Well, I have to stop right there. It's 10:31 and we're going to quit. Tonight we'll have our last in this series on the Holy Spirit and surprise. Oh, no, the choir is no surprise. They're singing for me and I'm inviting all of you to come and hear the choir tonight. Let us pray. Loving Father, we are deeply grateful that it has pleased Thee to give to us the eternal truth. Lord, we need to understand it. Save us from willful ignorance. To be so sold and so satisfied with our opinions that we don't want to be bothered with the truth. God help us. Give us open minds, open ears, open eyes, open hearts to receive and to retain and to respond to Thy holy word. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.